You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey folks, welcome to Clan from the Stands live, our first live attempt. Who knows? I don't know. I'm pushing loads of buttons here. Let's see what happens. We could do a really good job. We could do a really bad job. Let's see. But yes, we did record last night with the fabulous Dean from The Heated Take. So that's coming. That should be out tomorrow. So we didn't want to, you know, double whammy. So what we'll do a live version of this tonight because the clan forced us to. So I'm just going to put it up here. Breaking news. There we go. Breaking news.
It's like a kid with new toys, isn't it?
I got a couple of new toys, yeah. Breaking news. We have Cody Nielsen and the Glasgow clan have decided to part ways. I can take that off my screen now because it kind of makes my face look weirder than it normally does. I also hope, like, somebody check this is working. Oh, we got a like. There we go. I think people are 12 people watching.
Yeah, there's a few.
Oh, evening, Tanya. How are we doing? Fraser, Alan, this is cool. Okay, this is maybe this is going to be our new thing. I don't know. I quite like this. But anyway, look, we had to get on. We wanted to get on live because we didn't want to have to record and then I have to do all the stuff to get it sort of posted out to everyone. We are recording this, so I hope we'll get a recorded version out if it works as well. I know some folks maybe are busy tonight, but we're going to have to get into it and react. Phil, I'm going to come to you first. So Cody, it's one of those things. You know when you got there's couples, you know, and it's a mutual breakup and you're like, all right, it's mutual, but it's no really mutual, right? What do you think about this? Do you think this is, how mutual do you think this is? And look, you know, maybe you think it is mutual. Tell me what you think, Phil. What's your reaction to this news breaking?
Did it fall or was it pushed? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, it's almost like, look, I think, okay, maybe it is somewhat mutual, but it feels like, yeah, you know, do you think, how much did Cody kind of feel? Did he strike you as the kind of character that would say,
He's not a quitter, mate. He's been in the game too long. He probably knows this was his last big job. It's like all the kind of big organisations, it's like letting somebody walk away with their head held high. I don't have any ill feeling towards him. It hasn't worked out. But just to answer your question, only a fool would think it was MD's decision by the clubs. That's my honest answer on that.
Okay. Colin, got to come to you about a reaction to the news. Obviously, we literally talked to Dean a little bit about this last night. It feels like this has been the theme in a build-up. I don't know if people listened to the clan after battle. Probably the last one felt like the most, even though there was still lots of positive spins, it did feel like the most almost like acceptance that, oh, you know, this is not going in the right direction. So, like, how do you feel about Cody's tenure, Colin, when you're reflecting it, the timing of this, which we didn't expect, right, mid-season? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I know we had kind of chatted about it off camera and stuff like that before, and I know Phil, like we had said about, do we do it now and then try and get someone in? Phil's been taking lessons off camera for Chris and this. I think it's a good decision. Like the club have went, We haven't been any further forward, right? And if you look at it on progression, we were low scoring last year, we're low scoring this year. Defensively, yes, we've shown up. And yes, we have a better netminder. But again, I would go down the route of saying the style of hockey hasn't improved any. And the club are maybe Corey's realised, like, I can't take this group any further, or I'm out of ideas. And maybe the club have agreed with that, because essentially, if you get someone in now, you're trying to get the best out of what we have, but in the same sentence, look to build so that we don't have the same scenario going into next year. Like, the job, not a chance. Like, I wouldn't wish that upon MD, but from a supporter in a results driven business, I'm surprised he's the first one to go this year. If I'm honest, if you look at Dundee and other clubs, you'd maybe think, why are they not? But maybe the clan are trying to be a little bit more progressive. Maybe they've seen the reaction for the fans with letters and a whole host of things. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll never know.
We're not in that loss.
Yeah.
I don't think for 1 minute Corey's went in the office and said, this is as far as I can take them. Like, he's been put in the office and, like, he's just been let go. Mickey's a success, very, very amazingly successful businessman. Mm. This is his business. He's put too much into this to let somebody else sabotage it. And not that I'm saying Corey was sabotaging it, but if it's not working out, then it's his business that's at stake here. So he's much quicker to make the changes than we're used to, and I think that's how there's quite a fair bit of blowback online with fans feeling that they should have stayed.
They turned the comments off when they announced it.
I was talking about on this in the elite, a couple of the elite pages, not the official ones, the other ones. People were saying, "Oh, the get Corey out squad are successful, and be careful what you wish for." And I think it's just a bit of shock. Well, the results were not good enough. That's just the cold hard truth. I think it's came for the club.
Yeah.
Like I was saying about Mickey, he's highly successful and he's not going to stand for it. And it's getting a job in sport and management, it's not like any other job. You're 6 months away from the sack, no matter what, when you get a high enough level. So Corey would have known that, like every other manager in the league knows that, and he'll maybe not right at this moment, but I reckon in time he'll openly admit that it wasn't good enough.
But then I'll kind of come back at that, right? Because yes, the new owner is a successful businessman, right? We can see that. But as a hockey club owner, we've not got it right with management yet. I know there's only been a couple of appointments, but like, have we hung on too long to a point, or are we looking down sentimental routes? Are we not looking down the right track? Are we like, so this next appointment is, I would say, Pat, you can't do three in a row and have nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I see on that column, but like, I didn't want him back. I don't think you were too keen either, Ross. Like, so nobody was sure then. So you can't sack him at that point. We gave him the other year. We gave him another chance, essentially. And it's like really crystal clear now that it's not working out. So for me, it's the right time to do it. Keeping him there for another 6 months is no any benefit to the club, because the ownership felt that the now, if they felt the way they feel just now and they've made the decision for him to go, then there's no point in keeping them. Like,
yeah, I agree. I think, look, 100%, some good chats with Tanya. Thank you. We will come to the Pete Russell rumours. Obviously, the timing of that one, we had a Dyson Stevenson picture that sent Twitter wild and some funny things there. Well, but
we'll get his Dyson Stevenson tattoo back on again.
I think Stephen, I didn't see his – I didn't actually watch the Sunday. I didn't actually watch his interview because I just didn't think there'd be much in it, because it's always like 45 seconds and – But he's walked at you. You said he could. Stephen said he could tell he was maybe knew it was his last game on Sunday, even after a, you know, a win against the Stars. Yeah, look, for me, it's like you say, Phil. Look, I wasn't thrilled by the appointment. I was always quite honest about that at the beginning in terms of what I knew about Corey Nielsen and the style of hockey. And my view has always been consistent in terms of what I want to see, the style of that A, I think that I want to pay to watch, but B, that I also think is conducive to like success in the IHL the way it is now, looking at what you're up against, right? But I was honestly like, would have been really happy to be wrong and say, look, yeah, Corey comes in, there's a different way to do it, or maybe he's, you know, and I just, there's been maybe a stretch of like 4 to 6 games in a season where you kind of can maybe start to buy into something. But I just feel for the, you think the length of time, Phil, like you say, that do you know what I was going to say at all wrong with Dean last night is that, and I do think this part of this is like, the, you know, as much as we love all the improvements to game night experience, and you know, we do know we're lucky, right? So this is not about being entitled, but I actually think that, you know, what's been lost in that is the connection between the players. Like, you remember back in the days with Railer, and I know some of this is personality, right? I know some that guys at Railer that, but it just felt like, I just wonder, is it becoming more of a club that, like, if you have a lot of casual fans, that's the majority of fans, you're not going to have that connection, right? Because a lot of people don't, you don't really understand the game that well, right? When you've got proper, you know, it's like any sport, right? So I do think there's an element of, like, you know, that has been lost a little bit in terms of that connection. And I feel like the coach then has to give us, like, a style of play and a, you know, we all said this, it's like, you know, the Clan crowd are great, but you've got to give them reasons to get engaged. And again, it doesn't always have to be silky play and scoring goals. We talked about big hits. It can be getting physical. There's lots of things. It's like effort and endeavor and guys just throwing their bodies in front of things. So I think it's, there just was never enough of an identity under Corey that I was like, you know, and he kept talking about things like hardworking and, you know, we're going to be gritty and hard. It just never really materialized. Right. And it was just like, I think with this year, you're right, Phil, we had to give him a second year because
yeah,
alternative, you're just kind of, we can't keep doing this. But I do think now it's time to say, you know, let fresh eye this. Obviously, look, thanks to Corey, you know, we were all, you know, even though I wasn't thrilled in terms of like the style, I actually thought it was like, it was pretty, given what we've been through, you thought, okay, this is a safe appointment. But
at the end of last year, like we were saying, a couple of us were wanting me, were a change in management. We were that scarred for what had gone before. We weren't prepared to take the risk of changing the coach last year because I'm quite certain Mickey would not have been happy with a 7th place finish with the money he'd threw at it. But at this point in this season, it is worth the risk now. It wasn't worth the risk then. So I feel it's worth the risk now for us to do it. And hopefully, I mean, I'm just looking upwards now. I honestly just think his goose was cooked.
Yeah, I think the position became, it felt like it became untenable in terms of, like, I think with the open letter, like, it just, I think it just, there was so much surrounding it that it just kind of felt like something had to give. And the thing is,
you know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about. But if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
We could see it wasn't the moving in and out of players. That wasn't the answer, clearly. So, you know, maybe the answer was they were looking, we don't think we can make this roster much better in terms of talent by, you know, making some changes. But yeah, look, it feels like it is what it is. But look, we've got to look. I'm a big believer in looking forward. I don't think anyone, you know, as a fan base, everyone's always thankful to Corey. We know he gave 100%. It's obviously not panned out. I think, to be fair, the only thing I would say about Corey is that I actually feel good about is at least it was all on him. Like, I think you'd rather go out in your sword, you know, like go out that way and say, because he said that he was up front. I'm going to bring the guys in. Like, ultimate accountability for the on-ice product was on Corey Nielsen from recruitment all the way through to performances. So, in a way, there's no regret.
This is not me trying to kick him when he's down and stuff, but I didn't get that from him. I didn't hear it the way you heard it from Mark Lefebvre over at Dundee with their terrible form. Uh-huh. You were getting real ownership for him, whereas I felt we were just getting excuses.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that. What I mean, though, is, like, at least he's, like, you know what it's like with a clan? You can go, oh, look, you know, this is the club. You kind of feel like the club, like, in past years, you do feel some of the coaches were kind of a little bit hard done by. He can't feel that, is what I'm saying, because he was given all the power. Whether he owned it or not, it's like, at least he can go, well, I can't point and say, oh, I was given these five players that I didn't really want.
He mentioned that when we went to the Q&A when he first started, and he said, why he struggled in Germany was because in Germany they bought the players and you had to make it work, or they got the players in and he had to make it work. Whereas here he was going to make all the decisions. He was on the phone to agents. He made that blatantly clear when we had that Q&A way back. But I was going to say, see, just before we kind of charge on, I was going to say that, do you not feel the connection between the players and the club and the fans has changed now? Like, since, I mean, the last one I can remember was Zach Fitzgerald. He was very good at engaging with the fans, even on social media and a whole host of other things. Now, I know the way things are now is a little bit different, right? But I do feel that's been lost. Like, players taking responsibility, they used to come out and apologise and say, look, this really isn't good enough. We're going to do it. And
it's kind of like managed, that. Paul. It's all too, this is my point earlier. Everything's too, and it's very polished and it's great, but there is an element of, like, you go to the NHL and I've been to TD Garden, I've been to the Blackhawks, I've been to Bridgestone, you're not going to get any of that. There's not that, you know, it's like, whereas I think you go to Fife, right? You go to Guildford, you go to Manchester, like, the players are walking past people. Fife, you're walking past the players in the corridor. It's kind of almost like forced there. So I do think it's incumbent on the team and the player that I think the coach to instill that in the players to say, we've got to make this place light up and we've got to find a way to connect.
All these problems fix themselves if you're winning games. They all disappear. The connections and all that, it's all a lot of shite. It's about winning games.
Exactly. And listen, we're going to talk about winning games. We're going to get some of the comments here. So Andy Robertson, good to see you, mate. Thanks for the birthday wishes. Yes, that was is my birthday today. So we decided to jump on anyway. We'll get to the rumours about coaches there. Alan saying, I love a humble brag. I do love a humble brag. I would say not that humble usually, just more of a brag. let's talk about it. Craig Campbell said that. Like, you're talking about, so look, I think what I try and like to, thanks, Fraser. I like to look forward quickly. Thank Corey. We all think it's the right thing. Hopefully he even knows it's the right thing. And we have Mike Surratt, who's like, again, everyone wants him to be their dad. He's just one of those guys that seems super lovely. And, you know, has spoke really well when he's been out in front of the camera. So how do we feel about, like, you know, given that he's obviously there worked under Corey, but, you know, somebody gets an opportunity, it's like anything. He's going to have to do something if he wants to get that job. You know, let's assume that he might. Then he's going to have to show some chops, right? So how are we feeling about that, obviously, sensible interim appointment? Do we think it's going to be more of the same, or do we think we're going to see something different from Mike Surratt?
I think he's – I don't mean part of the problem, right? But he's the assistant, so he would have to have an input in what we've been doing already. I think Mike Surratt is going to be there as a stopgap until we find – a candidate, whoever it may be, that will see the best as what he can get out of these players and then start to build to improve on next year and keeping a core. But I don't think Mike Surratt always speaks well, sounds a nice enough guy, but nice guys don't win prizes. So for me, I'm I don't. If you look at his past record management, it's been university and a whole host, and he didn't do particularly well there either as a head coach. So yep. For me, I don't see him as the answer. I really don't. Someone had made the comment, it's disappeared off my screen, about like kind of Lacko and stuff like that. Fine, use Lacko at the moment as the assistant coach, get him a little bit of experience as Mike Sarant's doing the head coach role, but I don't see him as the answer. For me, if he's there for a couple of weeks and then we get a permanent coach in that we can look to, as you said, look, Ross, move forward, look forward, you kind of need to rip it out root and stem and start from scratch and have okay. new systems implemented and everything else.
So, Phil, I'm going to ask you in this because, you know, my thing, it was Craig Campbell that said that, but maybe Lacko as a full-time assistant. Phil, do you not think that, like, what I would say about Sarant is he's a very different type of person than Corey Nielsen.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of, like, I'm not saying it's the same as Martin Neal at Celtic, but there is an element, you know, like, it's a bit like, he reminds me a little bit of Martin Neal in terms of that, yep. like, you know, do you know what? You'd do anything for that guy. And I do wonder if these guys, if he is soft, like he's not as like, and I don't know how Corey is behind closed doors, but Corey came across as quite authoritarian, very yeah, structured.
Rigid, yeah.
I wonder yeah. if he might just, and we might see a bit of looseness. Again, that might mean we can see that maybe we're not quite as sturdy at the back. I don't know. Do you think that could happen with Sarant?
Yeah, I absolutely. Obviously, we're only getting a small bite size when we're seeing, I don't know, maybe five interviews, proper interviews with him. And impresses in every one. So I was in the old archives again, digging up to see what I could see.
Cabinet, Phil, in that filing cabinet you've got
is
there.
Is this archives or ChatGPT again?
Just to see what they were saying about Magic Mike. So, obviously, his last job was with Cardiff, season 2000-2001. So, this is 25 years ago. So, it's no yesterday, right? But he came second that year. He was only here for 1 year. Cardiff actually dissolved for a year after that and became Cardiff something. They changed their name and they were in financial bother. But they played... they had 71 points in 48 league games. So we're on track for 60 points in 60 league games, something like that. 50% win rate in the league, but a 60% win rate overall. Reached the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup.
When was and this?
Mike Sarant at Cardiff.
No, what year?
2000-2001. Right, that was his last year in here. It was a long time ago, but
I suppose tie up skates and all that.
Aye, but listen, managing people's managing people. That's more where I'm going with it. He's been a manager. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of occasions where he had to sit and bite his lip in that changing room because he is number two. So we just need to take it as Mike Sarant's the man at the end of the season because unless things get diabolical, I really don't know if I see his changing before then, unless someday we might talk about comes up.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about that in a second, yeah.
I'm happy to give him a go with the view that it's his job to keep. It's his to lose right now, put it that way.
I think we've got an interesting comment here. Can you see this? There you go. Calum Stewart, look at all these buttons I've got, guys. Isn't this great technology? I love it. I'm just loving my life right now. It makes my life so much easier than being on my phone trying to check all the Twitter questions. Calum Stewart, I love that. I just figured that I can do this, by the way, so no offense to anyone else. I like this. Like, Sarant, because a lot of talk is Jerry going to this GM role. We don't know what's rumors, right? Maybe true, maybe not. We don't know. Sarant as a GM might be interesting. Again, he mentions, again, a lot of experience other side of the pond. You know, the uni systems out there, like calling, like, you know, like Belfast calling a lot of their connections. So again, I do, because I think recruitment, I said this, is so important in this league. So I love that, Callum. I think that's a spicy hot take to say, you know.
Why have we not done it this year, though?
What's that?
Why have we not done it this year?
Well, no. I think we didn't know. We didn't know Mike Sarant. I think to your point, Phil, I feel like the club, like, again, look, we're going to have to talk about it. We'll talk about it now. There's rumours, obviously, Pete Russell, amazingly, has parted ways the same day. Is it a coincidence? You know, we think so. We don't know.
Did you read the post? Like, as in, did you translate it? I translated it for German.
Yeah.
And it basically said, as difficult as this departure is, it's necessary due to the sporting developments of the past few weeks in order to provide a new sporting impetus in the fight against the looming relegation playoffs. Andreas Ortwin and Pete Russell mutually agreed on Tuesday morning to end their collaboration with immediate effect. Now, that, for me, it's the same thing we are seeing with Corey. Have they been pushed or have they left, right? Because they've not had a great year. But is it coincidence in the same day that happens? I find it really odd. Like, it could just be total coincidence, right? Just total coincidence. But
let me ask you, and then
to throw another vegetable in the soup pot, Dyson's posting pictures in clan tops earlier in the last week.
Phil, we had to put a tweet out. I had to do it. But listen, here's the question. If they're both available and they both want to come to Glasgow, I know, Phil, this is I think I know where Colin might go with this, but I'm going to ask you.
I'll back it up if I do.
By the way, we can do this now as well. We can do this now. It's like, yeah, you can post your, we're going to do Q&A. You can post your questions as well, but you can post your answers to this. Who would you rather, folks, who are tuned in, let us know, Dyson Stevenson, Pete Russell, or would you say, to Phil's point, like, look, I don't know if I should put Mike Sarant. I feel bad putting him back. I think, you know, let's leave Mike out of it. But if we said new coach, you had to pick one, Dyson or Pete, Pistol Pete, who would you want in?
I would say Pete Russell, right? Now, the reason I would say Pete Russell. Well, no, you know.
I'm Pete joking, Russell, mate.
Oh, Russell with Dyson as assistant, Stephen Hill sitting in the fence.
No, well. Pete Russell, when he was with us, he took us to fourth. Now, that was the highest position we've had since he left, actually. We've also had, he came back to Cardiff Devils in his first year, finished second, and last year finished fourth. He doesn't have a knack of finishing lower down.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
I'd been Milton Keynes, but with the teams he's had, he's played an aggressive, progressive style of hockey. And he understands the league. And he understands the fan base because he's Scottish. So I think Pete Russell is the guy to look at. But again, I wouldn't be adverse to Dyson coming back. Pete Russell has the statistical setup to be successful, whereas Dyson might be a bit of a wild card. We've only seen what he can do in a short period of time. Now, if we took the first 6 months of the year, MD could maybe do X, Y, and Z, but I'm not adverse, but if I was to make an investment, as in if it was me spending my money, I would put my money on Pete Russell.
Okay, yeah, I love this. This is like a political debate. So, Phil, give us the opposing argument here.
So, I'm not going to argue, but I'll give you the points that we were making very recently on the cast. Is we're talking about wanting to go, we should have went that young progressive route. And we chose not to three times in a row or something like that. When we had Dyson sitting there waiting in the wings for at least two of those appointments, I'm sure. But anyway, we never chose it, and now we're getting the option of it again. If it was anybody else, a manager of that age, I would just spin the bottle and go for Dyson, but Pete Russell is like a progressive coach. Like, he's not, even though he's burning a few candles, like, he's not like an old school minded. He's like progressive. So, and he's got stacks of experience and stuff. So maybe we just get the dream team in and get the two of them.
Well, do you know what it is, Phil? I'm going to get my hot take in it. I'm going to get, I think Aaron's going to put a question up, which is brilliant. Oh, there you go.
Dyson could sit in the fourth line as well.
Well, do you know what it is? So Dyson could play, but here's the thing. The other thing is that the concern I have with Pete is that he'll just piss off again quickly if I get off. So it's almost like, the thing is with Dyson is like Pete Russell, the answer is Pete Russell all day long in terms of, to your point, Colin, if you're to say, who would be the more surefire bet? Because again, I love the style of hockey that I loved watching Pete Russell's teams. I think he's got the chops, but that's the concern, is could we hang on to him? Whereas with a Dyson, you go, we could have Dyson for a number of years. So I think it kind of depends which way you want to go down that road. But let's go to Aaron, who's got a fantastic question for us. Thank you, Aaron. Again, if you have any questions, please just pop them in, because it's dead easy for you to do this. It's much easier. Would you go down the route of trying somebody from, like, I know it's quote smaller team in the league. Look at what Nottingham have done with Manchester. Danny Shearer, right? So I mean, look at like Manchester, look Coventry, right? You look at those teams. You go, could you go with the setup we've got when we're saying we're trying to look up and say, do what one of those bigger teams? Because Nottingham, and they tended to always go for these more established coaches, and then there's been this change, right? We talked about that a lot. Do we think that's viable? Do we go and get one of these coaches that we think that we could tempt to Glasgow that we think's on the up and has potential?
Well, where have we had success, right? So if you look back, even if we go all the way back to Ryan Finnerty, right, we took him from Sheffield Steelers. Then if you look at Pete Russell, we took him for MK, right? And
look at this. There we go. Big Dyson. Dyson's listening. Yes. Mate, you got our tweet, hopefully, Dyson. We thought you were coming home, mate. So,
Manchester's great. What are the chances of that?
Listen, Dyson's happy. Pete's assistant. You're there for the long haul, Dyson. Yeah, we're good, mate. We hope you come back soon. As you saw, Twitter lit up with all the AI-generated images of you on a plane. So, hope you and the missus are well and enjoying Europe.
But, yeah, so, like, if you look at when we've taken guys from the league, right, it seems to have worked in the past. When we've brought people from the outside in, it hasn't. So, again, that maybe stacks up. So, yeah, I mean, it really gets... I think the problem is, like, as Clan fans, we want the club to do well all the time. Like, we kind of live and breathe it. And I think it's always difficult when you get to this point when you're thinking, what happens if it doesn't work out? You know what I mean? Like, I just hope whoever we have next is in it, if you know what I mean, invested and does their thing. Look how happy Phil is.
Just like Ross, send up the link and get him on here.
There you go. Look at this. We're getting the. I think it's so funny. Everyone's changing their vote now. Go, yeah, get Dyson back.
Brilliant. Hope you're well, Dyson, mate.
Yes, we do hope you're well. Great, thanks for popping on and giving a wee bit, giving us something to get the troops energised. There's Alan Fletcher. Wouldn't take a five for Dundee. Yep, Manny done well this year, but are we going to call him to control players to recruit? A younger coach would be ideal for that. Not long out of the game. Cody was good back then. We had his contacts. Yeah, I don't disagree, Alan. I think we're all leaning towards that, like a coach that maybe understands players a little bit better.
One thing that has pissed me off this year, right, and even since Corey's taken over, is the lack of physicality, right? As in, if you look at it, every year at Clan, we've had someone that will answer the bell, right? Now, Parry, to be fair to him, has done it on occasion, but I'm talking about a guy that you look over your shoulder thinking, if I go to this puck, I'm going to get rattled here or something's going to happen. We have not had, and Corey almost had that constantly at Nottingham. And I'm really surprised we didn't go down the route of that here, because they're bums on seats, guys. Now, pick MD, like, that we've had in the past. Now, Dyson's on here. You've had Chris, I was going to go down the route of Zach Fitzgerald. We've had, like, a number of guys that would put their chin in the line for the club.
Doughty. Doughty, people like that.
Aye, but Jake Doughty, I mean, there's a few guys, right? McKeever, Like, we've always had that. But this year, as much as Parry does that kind of job, he doesn't do it like your traditional. So if you look at Fife, as bad as Fife are, they've got Gareth Hunt and they've got, and they've got Lucic now, right? But then you've got guys like Locke with Manchester who can do it. There's guys with different clubs. There's a boy there that would do something if it really came to it. And I don't think we carry the fear factor anymore. People used to hate coming to Brayhead. It used to be a place that folk couldn't come to. Like, they knew if they came in and they won, they were going to leave battered and bruised. And I kind of miss that. I really do. Like, there's no... I mean, even the little guy Caproni from Cardiff Devils, he flattened the boy for Fife the other night, and I mean flattened him. He hit him like a train.
Fraser's
a hit of nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, there Fraser you go.
Yeah.
And the hit was phenomenal. It was fair, and it looked like something for like a Matrix film. Like, the guy got hit, and his helmet came off, and his hands went back, and his... But I don't think I can count... In fact, I can't even remember any hit this year that I could think, wow, that was a cracker.
Yeah, I know. We do have a question from Craig Campbell, Phil. Do you think we need a new coach with a different style of play instead of jumping chase, instead of a bit more possession in the ozone?
Yeah, it would be much, much better to watch, wouldn't it? But like, I would say that the dump and chase has really came into our game. I don't think we really started that way. I thought we were more about driving from our zone out with the puck. So as you become worse, which unfortunately that's what happened, and listen, we were littered with injuries as well. We cannot forget that. That's important in all this, but you're just, we became dump and chase because we're just looking for relief in these games. You know what I mean? We didn't have any options. So I didn't feel we started the season in. Do you know, I've seen much worse dump and chase years than this year. I'll say that because of the top one and a half lines. I don't feel they're really dump and chase.
Yeah. No, I agree.
To answer your question, I'd love us to abandon that. That if you abandon that, it means you've got really good players in the team. So that would be a tell.
Yeah, and Ross is just pushing buttons constantly now because there's things
popping in my screen. I'm absolutely loving this setup. It's great.
It's better.
I just wish the screen was bigger so I could read the questions. Because
you're on your phone, mate. That's it. Poor Phil can't work his laptop. But no, I think look, Craig, we definitely want something different. And again, I think everyone's kind of leaning towards a younger coach with a more, you know, modern idea maybe of how, again, you look at the league and look at the teams in the league that come to Brayhead that play against us, and you're like, you can see the difference. Like, you know, just it's part of, you know, there's two pieces. There's, you want to be entertained, and obviously we want a competitive hockey team. And I always say the word competitive, right? I think that's, you can't be over over our skis in terms of expectations, right? But I think that's, we've just not had that for so long. Like, you know, Pete Russell's team, we weren't going to win the league, but the hockey was good. Like, you pay your money every week, and you were like, you were competitive, and you knew on any given night you could win those games. And you felt like you could win, and you believed turning up. You turn up to the arena believing you could win those games. We've got to get back to that level of on ice product, and I think that does come with a more offensive minded coach. Or if you're going to be a defensive minded coach, you've got to bring guys in that can coach the offensive part of the team in that way. But yeah, lots of love for that hit, Colin. Beauty of a hit.
That was a cracker. And yeah. You know, even better, it was against Fife. See, if Fife had the hit, I'd have been gutted, right? But it was an absolute topper. And like I said, one of the smallest guys in the ice, and he hammered that guy.
Yeah.
And we've got guys that are 6'5". And I think, Jarosik for me was the biggest letdown. Like, he never really threw a hit. He was more like into pushing people off the boards. But
and good comment from Tanya said, Corey did say this, you know, got to be physical and tough. We didn't really see that pan out. So
Thompson's team, I can't agree more. Like, Thompson's team, if you look at them, that's the type of hockey I want to watch. I want to watch fast, aggressive, hard-hitting hockey where teams don't want to come here because it's just going to be a nightmare for them, whether it's style of hockey or we're just going to literally beat the life out of them.
Exactly. Well, listen, this one from David. David, listen, we had a long conversation with Paul Dixon last night with Dean. Yeah. So I would say that episode's dropping tomorrow. So Heated Take episode tomorrow will drop, where it's a takeover from, it's like clan from the Flames, if you want to call it that. And we have a long talk about Paul Dixon's tenure, the type of coach he is. Some interesting insights from Dean. We did ask about, is he under pressure? He's been there a long time. This has probably been their rockiest season.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about. But if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
And yet, we all like him. We think he's a good coach.
We asked the questions and we asked.
Yeah, so we did. So, yeah, definitely watch that one there for you want to get more insight on what's going on at Guildford and Paul Dixon in particular.
They're not a little budget team, man. The guy that owns them is rich as anything. So they can compete with MD, like, for people.
Thanks, Fraser. I'm glad you're enjoying it. This live thing could have gone completely sideways, not going to lie. Like, I was literally, like, spent the last 2 hours just trying to get my head around it all. So far, so good. And then we'll probably not be able to turn it off. We'll just be live all night. Leslie Henderson, do you think we'll lose Cade? So again, we also watch the episode tomorrow. Dean has a very interesting take on Cade Nielsen, by the way. So no spoiler, but watch that. Interesting. Do we think we'll lose Cade now Corey's gone?
No.
I don't think so, because I think Corey's going anywhere else. But I think maybe beyond this season. I think this season we're fine. But yes, beyond this season, I would hope not. But what do you think, boys? Do you think Cade Nielsen might decide to leave now his dad's not here?
Yes, 100%.
I don't think so.
No?
Why?
Where's he going to go? Because his dad's not got a team.
For me, he's one of the kind of better forward Brits in the league. So, and we're not one of the better forward teams in the league. So I'm sure he'll be getting offers. I'm sure. I reckon everybody. Every team would look at him. Every team in the league.
There you go. Craig Campbell's upset about his he loved Jarasek. He's my boy, Blue. He's my boy.
I liked Jarasek at the start of the season, and then he just became
for two games.
He just didn't do enough for me.
Yeah, I think you're fair. I think Stephen Hill said the big forward signed Cade in a heartbeat. I don't disagree with that. To your point, Phil, I think he will have plenty suitors, so it'll just come down to what Cade Nielsen
wants to do. Stephen knows his stuff.
Yeah, Waller will be the top hunted Brit for Guildford. He's got 22 points.
Okay, what do we have here? I had one more there I want to show. Here we go. Yeah, do we think so? Peter. Peter Grayston has asked, do we think the secondary is less hockey focused? I just think, yeah, there's just generally a, I think you can see that letter from the open letter. There is this feeling of like the on ice product has become, it's not that it's not a focus, it's just that there's so many other focuses now, right? So it's like, which dilutes focus, right? In anything, if you're focusing too many things, you're probably not going to do any of those things particularly well. So it does feel that, and I know there's different people focus on different things, but it does feel, and look, we want the arena to be financially viable and all those things, right? So we understand that as fans, that this is, your money is important, but there is that feeling, I think, from the diehard fans that have been with the club, for a number of years, that, yeah, we've not figured it out, and there's a lot of other things that are getting figured out and improved, and it's like, well, when do we get that level of, progress?
See, it comes hand in hand, though. Like, so see, because the arena, right, and as much as it kind of pains us that the hockey is the priority, right, but the arena having the better things and the players having a better setup, that would surely spread better news, because we'd heard stories before way back when we were talking to like Chris Holt and other bits and pieces about what had happened with the club prior to Mickey taking over. Would that then help attract better players, or would it help attract the player, like, because of the setup they do have? Because, like, if you look at, yes, granted, this year it's been like the jumbo, the big flames, and I kind of used a terminology about like the semi-pro film where like they dance and do a wee show at half time and the basketball and all that kind of jazz. But it's very, I think that it's set up now better than it's ever been. But what we need to do as an organisation and as a club is we need to focus on the primary objective, and it's getting a successful hockey team on the ice.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, Callum Stewart saying Hazeldine, complicated, almost quit hockey altogether. He came here and he was under Cody. So again, look, yeah, we don't know the impact of this on like the playing squad. Obviously, we think this season it's probably going to be no impact, but definitely, definitely.
That is one that would really hurt if he was Hazeldine. For me, he's the best Brit. He's the best Brit you've ever had, I think.
You could argue he's one of the best Brit D-men in the league now.
I think he's the best Brit we've ever had.
He reminds me a bit like Robert Farmer, way back in the day.
Yes. And then we have another one from Aaron, just he's hoping that this doesn't affect the guys in the locker. The team was obviously better connected. Cody's brought them in. So, yeah, we don't want to go down a full team rebuild. That's where I think Mike Surratt, I do feel he's got that skill set, Phil. Like, you know, we said, like, in terms of being able to maybe just galvanise him a little bit. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see, how are we going to bounce back from that? But okay,
the players looked kind of dejected. See, if you actually watch them on the ice, they didn't look overly happy the past couple of weeks. And like, I understand these guys have personal relationships and a whole host of other things, right? But see if Hazeldine's getting paid right, he's getting treated right, and everything else, it shouldn't really matter in that aspect, because if he's still playing hockey, he's enjoying it and everything else, then he would stay. So again, I'll say what I said before, the next coach's appointment is paramount.
Listen, wait, know that I'm starting rumours or anything, but there could be half of that dressing room could be happy to see the back of him. That's just a fact. You know, like, they wouldn't just have sacked coach, like, they would have been measuring the players' kind of sentiment and stuff, sent towards them, and, you know, they would have seen it day to day, so... You never know, we could kick on for here.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yes.
The shackles are off, that kind of deal.
Wednesday will be, like, see, tomorrow night, I'm going to the game tomorrow with my work, and I've invited 8 people from my work to go to this instead of going to the pub, so we'll see how that goes. But tomorrow night might be, like, you can see maybe a difference in the players' not attitude, but the way in which they play and something that which they do. I mean, it's going to be really close to changing dramatically, and I don't expect that, but you might see a difference in maybe attitude, might be a different style. Like, guys might play the way they want to play rather than maybe how they're told to play. Or
Well, that's what Gus is saying here. Maybe the big win in Dundee was partly due that everyone kind of knew this was like he's on his way out. It's like, and again, I didn't watch that game. I didn't get the stream for that one, so I can't comment.
Did Dundee put highlights out? I've still not seen it online.
I've not seen it either.
No, because their team scored about 2 goals in the past 12 games. But I think, like, that Dundee game, I reckon we could have fielded 6 players and still won it. You know, that kind of way. And that's no disrespect to Dundee, but they're utter garbage at the moment.
Yeah, Craig just saying, love it, the connection. Lee, the new goalie, skating by, thanking the fans on Sunday, were chanting his name. All good. And there's Dave Plummer. They're loving the live set. Thanks, Dave. Losing some of Cody's players. Let's see what happens. Did Mike take the game on Sunday? Oh, highlights are out today, Stephen. Thank you. I'm going to check them out. I didn't see them. Excellent. Thank you. So
days later.
Yeah, well, listen, what we're hoping for, boys, is that whatever happens, there's going to be a bounce this week. Because we've got 2 big games. Obviously, the Panthers come to town tomorrow. We know they're a good team, but they've got a few people missing, and you know, maybe this is one of those where you get a nice bounce, you know, from a change of coach or just a change of something can just give us that bounce. And then, as we said, we also have the Guildford Flames then coming on Friday, which is a huge game for where we sit in the league. They're 7th, we're 8th, so in that battle for you know, really for fifth, right? Because Storm are still not too far away yet. So if we can turn things around quickly, you know, we can start looking up the league from where we are now. So yeah, let's hope for that. Yeah, let's hope that the new league bounce, the new coach bounce certainly has an impact this week on the guys, and it might translate into some crucial points this week for the clan.
Mike, get the old magic shoulder rub on the players, like, come on, lads, these are actually amazing. And then
I thought you were going to say he's going to get in the middle of the changing room and start dancing.
Just the wee arm around them, wee bit of
I'm going to ask you, like, do we feel more optimistic now about the point tally this week from those two games than we did when we spoke last night with Dean?
No.
Yes.
I do. I think we could see a real... I think we'll beat Guildford on Friday. And I think tomorrow's going to be...
I think tomorrow's going to be harder for Nottingham than what it would have been.
Yes, I agree. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating one.
It is.
But do you know, see doing this live thing?
Get your tickets, get there.
See doing this live thing, every time like we say something, it's mad how fast people are, well, they were out. Like, I think, is it Alan's put up the highlights were at 21 hours ago?
I know, I've been, like, I didn't see them. I was
I'm not used to this.
21 hours ago? I was looking for them on the Dundee Stars Twitter yesterday before we went on, and there wasn't anything. Been nice.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I haven't really been on social media too much. I was working, but yeah, I just missed it. Usually it kind of pops up and I get to see it, but I'll need to check it out. But yeah, listen, I think we're going to, yeah, we don't want to run on too long. So again, we don't, you know, it's not too much of a good thing, but just going to finish. Just going to leave this one here, right? There we go. That's Phil, that's just for you, Phil. There we go.
Bring him home.
It comes with Pete Russell for the short term. We're fine with that. But look, we've got to look forward to this week. I think the main thing we can do as fans is get behind the team as we always do. And probably, I think what will happen now, actually, the fans will be even more. There'll almost be an extra 10% from the fan base, right, to rally around the team. Let's see. Let's hope that we can do something tomorrow against the Panthers, then a huge game on Friday against the Guildford Flames. So let's see what we can produce as a hockey team, right, and as a hockey fan base, and try and create an atmosphere that makes it very difficult for Nottingham and Guildford to get anything out of those games.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, we're going to leave it there. We're going to end the stream in about 20 seconds, something like that. So thank you to everyone for all the contributions as
amazing.
Always.
Amazing.
We just felt we had to do this because of the news being so sudden, and get some sort of reaction out there. But yes, hope you've all enjoyed it. We certainly have.
Definitely has. He's got that. He's got this. Going to print that out and put it in his wall.
That's it. Yeah. Well, there we go. Well, it's a bit of fun. It's something we'll look into doing a little bit more. As I say, first try at this. So. Listen, get yourself there tomorrow if you can. Get yourself there on Friday. If not, we've got the streams. Let's be cheering the boys on, and let's hope this is going to be a huge week with plenty of points that maybe get us dreaming and start getting a bit of positivity around the on-ice product we have at the clan. Thanks again to everyone. And as we always say, boys, on the mighty Phil, on the clan.
I'm on the clan.
On the clan. There we go. Thanks, everyone.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.